Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. We've been looking at different offices of the New Testament Baptist Church, what their function was, what their purpose is, and what they absolutely should never be. We're going to look at preachers who aren't necessarily pastors. Preachers who aren't necessarily pastors. Verse 8, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. We see the word evangelist. The word evangelist only occurs three times in the English Bible. Ephesians 4:11 gives us the second one, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The word is interpreted means a gospeler, a preacher of the good news. Somebody who has the ability to preach and the calling to preach, but is not necessarily one who would be necessarily the pastor of a church. Under those circumstances, when I was at Flat Rock, I had the ability to preach, but I had no calling upon myself to preach. And there's a lot of young preachers and maybe some not so young preachers who are out there. They are in training. Some have well gone past training and they're still underneath a pastor. And when another church calls, maybe their pastor is ill, maybe they don't have one, they will travel over and they will preach for them. Sometimes they'll preach in different meetings and in different settings. Maybe they'll be a camp speaker, or they'll have a conference. They'll go to a conference. They'll preach at the conference. So we see that idea of an evangelist, one who is certified to preach, but one who does not hold the office of a pastor. Now, these people are gifted or are connected to the church itself. There are many out there who believe themselves to be the kind of evangelist that can hop from church to church to church to church, and they can kind of be out there. You know how some of these, concert singers, some of these quartets that we enjoy, they'll go out and for so many odd Sundays out of the year, they'll be preaching, not preaching, but they'll be singing at different churches, and they'll maybe visit their church four, maybe five times out of the year, like a morning like this. They would sit there, they would get up, and they would say, it's too dangerous for us to travel up to Traverse City, so we're going to stay right here, and we'll go to our own church. A lot of people see that that's what an evangelist is. There's a guy, he's the husband of a lady who used to be my boss, John Hamlin. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of him. If not, that's fine. He ain't missing nothing. But he is an evangelist in the Michigan area, and he's well known among some churches. And he very seldom is in his own church, but is often going around visiting and crusades. Billy Graham, these would be people who would be considered evangelists. Those who seem free of their church to go about and preach as they wish. That's not how that goes. You are still holding to your church. You are a member of a church somewhere. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, hey, listen, for those that are out there preaching the gospel, they need to be in their church this many weeks. So if you know somebody who's called to preach and they visit a lot of churches on Sundays preaching and filling in the pulpit, that's understood. But they have a home church. They have a church that they go back to and they are connected to. And they are still under that pastor. As things moved on at Flat Rock, I had a lot of things that I would do, a lot of responsibilities. So often when people would ask me if I would come and fill the pulpit for them last minute, I'd have to say no. And I'd always go up to my pastor and say, hey, pastor, so-and-so has asked me to go fill in the pulpit tomorrow. However, I don't have anybody to cover this, 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 or that. What do you think? And he'd say, hey, listen, if we don't have anybody to cover all that short notice, I'd rather you stay here. And that's exactly what I would do, because I had responsibilities. I had to teach the Sunday school class. I had different things that I was doing. And if I wasn't there, those things weren't going to get done. So I stayed there. Now, if a brother were to call me 2 weeks in advance, hey, I've got a vacation coming up. What do you think? Well, then I could, hey, Brother Kavanaugh, can you take this? And hey, can you take that? And we'd free things up and we would go. But I would always run it through who? My pastor. Why? Because he held on to my leash? No, because it was a matter of respect. That's my pastor. Pastor, what work do you need done in the church? What's okay for us to move around? And what do you think? Because he oversees it. The Lord's going to move him. The Lord's going to move the church through him. So it's very important that I checked in with him. These evangelists who are just like, hey, listen, you know, I've been out here and I'm taking these meetings to go here and these meetings to go there. And every now and then it's good to see my pastor when I darken the doors. That's not the way it's supposed to be. An evangelist is a member of a local New Testament Baptist church. They aren't free agents. They aren't ones that can go and have their big to-dos and be able to be celebrated among men. And then every now and then they'll come in and critique their own pastor's preaching. No, you ought to be home just as much as you are out. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 kind of gives us a good illustration here. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But Philip, and I'm skipping around in this passage here, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he come to Caesarea. And what Philip was doing here is he was allowed to go preach, and the Holy Spirit moved him to go preach, and that's what he did. He just went to go preach. And was it okay for him to go south? Yes. Was it okay for him to be over there? Yes, it was. Was that fine for that? Absolutely. You know, if a preacher goes on vacation, and I challenge some of the young preachers that come here, and I know some of you are related to some of the young preachers, if you find out they're coming, you let me know. All right, because I've got no problem with that. I'll check in with their pastor. Hey, listen, can I let your preacher boy come preach? And hey, yeah, absolutely, brother. And I'll ask them, and they'll come, and I'd like to have him preach for us. Now, of course, I'm not going to let somebody up in this pulpit I haven't heard preach before. Right? I'm not going to do that. But thankfully, most of their stuff is recorded, and I know the preachers I invite to come up here and preach, and I've heard them preach, and I know what they're about. So I'd like to do that. And is that okay? Perfectly fine. That's absolutely fine. We see that illustration here in Philip. Is it okay for street preaching? Absolutely. Again, under the authority of the local New Testament Baptist Church and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 12 now. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now we're bouncing around there again from 12 to 38. But the point is this. Sometimes an evangelist, let's say, let's say Brother Mike over there. Let's pick on Brother Mike. Brother Mike over there, he gets called to preach. And he's all ready, and he can speak a different language. He can speak Spanish. And he's going to go preach to the Spanish-speaking people in our area. Now, he goes out there, and he's preaching, and they get saved. Say he's down there in Grand Blanc and he's preaching to those folks and they get saved. Can we baptize, start a church down there? Through us? Yes. Absolutely. And we're going to sit there and we'll vote on that. Hey, do we want to start a church over there? All right, fine. It'll be the first Spanish-speaking church in Grand Blanc. And maybe that we'll have to work on the title, but you get what I mean. All right, we'll get that down there. We'll get that started and that's fun. An evangelist can do that. Somebody who works a mission in the area, that's what they are. And I want to be clear on this as much as I want to be careful. We see a lot nowadays among our kind of Baptist, and don't go get on the phone with them and say, Brother Roland was running you through the mud. I'm not. But we see a lot of people who are missionaries to their own church. And that's not what that is. Well, you know, where's your church? Mount Morris, Michigan. All right, well, who are you working with? Well, we're working with the Arabic-speaking people in the Flint area. Okay, well, where do you have your meetings? At Home Missionary Baptist Church. Well, who does the preaching? Our one Arabic-speaking brother. Okay, and that's all being done within the church? Yes, that's not a missionary. That's an evangelist. That is somebody with authority to go out and preach or to stay here and preach. And they're doing so under the authority of that church. So we would not call them a missionary. So what would be the appropriate thing for us to do? Well, if, Brother Mike, I'm changing the language you can speak. Now you speak Arabic. And we're going to get Brother Mike, we would take him on full time. If it is our desire for him to have full time ministry into, to the Arabic speaking people of Flint, we would take him on full time to do so, or part time, or however we could afford to do. And then he would be a blessing in that ministry. But I wouldn't call him a missionary. I know somebody who their mission is teaching English to people who don't. It's not a mission. The government will pay you to do that. Right? That is not a service of the local New Testament Baptist Church to give people a basic education. That's not what we're for. We can do it, but it's not what we're for. You ought to be preaching the gospel. You ought to be preaching the gospel. If that's what we're doing, that's what it ought to be about. So an evangelist under the authority of a church, of their church, can baptize believers as Philip did. And we could even begin and use them to start a church there. But again, they're still a part of this church here. Now, we would say, well, what's the difference between them and a missionary? Well, that word in their definition, that word in their title, mission. So we think of Brother and Sister James. Brother James is down there in Australia. What is his mission? To preach the gospel, to seek out the elect, and to start a church. That is the purpose of a missionary. They are to start that church. Now, there is no expectation for Frank and Sid James to be here on a Sunday morning. Why? Because they are on a mission in a faraway place to start a church. If the purpose is to grow this church or to edify other churches out of this church, evangelist. If it is their mission to start another church and either be the pastor of that church or train a pastor of that church so they can move on, missionary. Missionary. And of course, as we look at the title of the missionary, we've seen many of them. We've seen many who have gone out, Paul and Silas, Paul and many other people who went on to start churches out of the authority of another church. Now, again, they don't carry that authority with them. We can't just say, go and do this. It has to be something that the church agrees upon. There are responsibilities that the missionary has. Right, so we've got a vast sum of money that goes down to the missionaries, and we've got work that they're doing, and that money goes to fund that work, a place for them to meet, a place for them to stay, their medical bills, anything that they would need, it would go to that. It is a thing that is running. It is a mission. It is being funded. It is being taken care of. It is a standalone thing. Now, let's say, if you haven't, I don't know if I've announced this yet, I'm pretty sure I have, but Brother and Sister James are looking to come back home on furlough due to Sister James's health. Pray for them for that. But let's say the Lord heals her, and the church down there or the mission down there were to take off, and all of a sudden they find themselves with 30, 40, 50 members who are all tithing, and now the mission's funding itself. Brother James reaches back out to us and says, hey, listen, we're self-sustaining. We'd like to incorporate this thing into a church. Well, we would vote to give them the authority. They would vote to begin in that process, and then they would be their own church. And at that particular point, it'd be up to the Holy Spirit, up to the Lord, as to whether or not Brother and Sister James join that church as his pastor, or if he would remain being our missionary, would attend there to keep them going and build up a pastor, and then it would be all of us together to decide whether or not he's going to move on and where to go from there. There are distinct rules and distinct differences between the guy that would serve as an evangelist, somebody just going out and preaching, and then somebody going out to start a church. And we've talked about this among different men who've gone out there. You know, Billy Graham, with his crusades, he was probably one of the most guilty of this, where he would blow into a town, preach the gospel, many, many thousands would be saved, and then he would breeze right back out of town with nothing more than just a join a church of your taste, right? Join the church you like best. And he would leave. So what would happen? Well, those thousands that would be saved, they would lose the energy for it. They'd lose the passion for it. The circus is left, and now all the balloons deflate. Right? There they go. And, well, what do? Well, they're going to get into a church with some bad doctrine. And that bad doctrine's not going to be enough to feed them, so they'll pass on. And they'll go back to going to ball games on Sunday and using that day for their laundry day and just missing out. Whereas somebody who's going to be dedicated to the work, you know, like a missionary, they're going to be there. They're not just coming in to preach something hot and then go on and preach the same sermon, you know, two states away. They're going to stay there. They're going to work with the people. They're going to help with the people. An evangelist's job is not to go out and create messes everywhere he goes. If he is going to go for the sake of preaching in an area where there is no church, then it must be under the church's authority that he do so, with the point of starting a mission work there. If I were to go and let's say I went out to Washington and I started street preaching out in Washington, and I get it together around, you know, good 12, 15 people, and they're like, man, we absolutely love that, but there's no sound church around here. What should we do? I don't know, man. I'm just on vacation. I'm out of here. That'd be a very disgraceful thing to do. Whereas, the smart thing to do would be for us to get somebody out there and get a church started for them. Get something going. Get a mission work going. And, you know, we've got plenty of young preacher gentlemen. I hate calling them preacher boys because it sounds so demeaning, especially since some of them are in their 30s. But, you know, just get some of these young preachers in there and say, hey, listen, under the authority of your church, well, my church says that they really don't have the funds or the ability to do that. Well, I tell you what, would you guys mind coming to ours and we'll support you as you go out there and you take care of that, and we'll get you funding and we'll get you taken care of. We'll get that thing started. And then those 12 to 15 people who were saved, they've now got a dedicated pastor preacher or dedicated missionary working with them. You see the difference between an evangelist and a missionary. And again, if I'm just out there, you know, I'm over in pick an area here. I'm in Clio. And I'm speaking Arabic, and all the Arabic people come out and they go, hey, listen, we like what this guy has to say. And now they're coming to Home Baptist Church, and we've got a special service just for the Arabic speaking people. Some of you are cringing. but no, if we were to do that, that's not a mission. What is that? That's good old fashioned church work. That's what Home Missionary Baptist Church should be doing, preaching the gospel. People come in and we preach the gospel to them. That's what it should be. Right? It doesn't matter if they speak a different language. It doesn't matter if they're from Mars. If they come in and they hear the gospel, and it is from somebody who's a member of the church, that is an evangelist. If you're going down to a camp meeting, a tent revival, and you've got an evangelist up there, and it's not pastor, but it's evangelist, whatever, he should be a solid, in good standing member of a local New Testament Baptist church who has authority from his church to be there. Who has the right to be there. Now, why do we say that a man needs to have his church's authority? Well, let's say we've got a member of the church, and we don't, but let's say that we do, who's called to preach, but their life is a wreck. Now, here's the thing. When we look at the qualifications of a pastor, it's the same as the qualifications of a preacher. If your life's a wreck, you probably ain't got the calling. So we would sit there, we would say, that's probably not someone we would endorse to go preach. That's why it's important for us to do that, because if we just call somebody who we like, we get them up there to preach, but they're not sound in doctrine, they're not sound in behavior, you don't know what's going to come out of that pulpit. So anybody who's calling an evangelist to come speak needs to know that person's church. And anybody who's going out to preach needs to have the stamp of approval from their church. One of the things that my pastor always said that he was going to do for me, and he finally did right before, I think it was right after y'all called me up here. One of the things he said that he would do is, we'll get you licensed by the state of Michigan to preach. And to most people out there, they would sit there and say, well, what good is it to have the government say, you've got the approval to preach? No, I don't care about the state of Michigan saying that I've got the right to preach. I'm glad to know that my church says this guy is one of our preachers. That's what mattered to me. I mean, State of Michigan wouldn't know a good preacher if you labeled it. They don't get it. They don't know how to treat a church. They don't know how to treat a. I can't tell the difference between a church and a business. They wouldn't know a good preacher if one bit them. It's important for the church to sit there and say, this person fits the biblical bill of what a preacher should be, right? And not for bragging reasons, but because that's the decent way to do it. If you want something taken care of, you get something taken care of properly. So there are differences between the missionaries and the evangelists. The evangelists are connected to the church, and they stay connected to the church. And unless they have the authority of the church, they don't go out starting stuff. If they've got a particular ministry within the church, right? I've known some people, well, I'm called to minister to teenagers. I'm called to minister to the youth. I'm called to minister to this. Number one, God doesn't just call you to a special qualification. You should be prepared on all levels to be able to take care of things. I'm called to the Spanish speaking. I'm called to the Arabic speaking. I'm called to the French speaking. You understand? But if you're doing the work out of this church, that is an evangelist. If you are off, far from the church, doing works with the intentions of starting a church under your church's authority, that is a missionary. And I love a missionary. You don't really have a lot of trouble. You can. You don't really have the trouble with a missionary that you do with an off the rails evangelist. So we want to know and note the differences there of what is and what is not. Because every now and then I get that, well, I'm a missionary. Well, you're a missionary to what? The back door of the church you're already a member of. Well, guess what? You're a missionary to Clio and Mount Morris, both township and city. You are. But we wouldn't necessarily sit there and, you know, pass out flyers going, hey, let's give Brother Bill some gas money so he can roll on over to Clio and pass out door knockers. No, we would take care of those things. So again, the sharp difference between the two. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for both offices of the evangelist and the missionary. Lord, help us not to confuse the two, and Lord, help us to all do our best to proceed and give the gospel in every opportunity that we get. Lord, help us to respect the missionary and the evangelist. Lord, give them love. And Father, as needed, support. Lord, though we would not send missionary support to an evangelist, Father, we may find the need, or you may bring upon us the need and desire to help a church that has an evangelist that's going out there and doing work. Father, I pray you bless the work of those that are faithful to you in both their evangelistic work, Lord, as well as their missionary work. Bless them, Father, and help us to be a blessing to them. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.